Sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Ethan Zahn is here tonight from Survivor, my favorite show. Yes, Drew?
It is your favorite show, other than Family Guy and Simpsons. And
yeah. I don't know. I don't watch that much.
I hear they're bringing Family Guy back.
Yes. Yes, they are, and I'm excited about that, too. No, I watch This Old House Classics, the old one, and Survivor, and it's absolutely... And I was watching American Idol last night, and I just thought, I don't get it. I don't... Like, it's Survivor, you know, and then I was looking at the paper today, and it was like, top 10 shows, American Idol, and then American Idol again, and I don't want to be one of these guys who just harps on stuff because it's popular, because Survivor's very popular, has been for 5 years, and I've always said that I love Survivor. It's a good show. I don't care what it does. It's like, you know, if it does well in the ratings or not, it's a real good show. But
American Idol,
like just sort of mediocre talent and mediocre-looking people with sort of mediocre charisma, singing mediocre songs in front of, you know, Simon and the rest of the sort of blowhards there.
But it doesn't feel like anything.
It
isn't, but it plays with the very nature of why we or what we are attracted to in celebrity.
I could do that too.
No, but I couldn't.
And if I don't, I can cut down everybody else that gets there.
I could just go down to Dimples if I want to see sort of 150-pound chicks sing Donna Summer songs in a way that's only good after a few beers. I don't get it, but Survivor, I get. I love this show,
and I don't really get it. I don't know. I can't understand how you get it.
I think I've seen every one of them.
Really?
Pretty sure. And I know Ethan won the Africa one, which is. To me, was the stickiest of all the Survivors. The only redeeming value of the show in terms of the only thing that doesn't make me want to stand up and scratch myself feverishly is the fact that people get in and out of the water all the time, and it's a baptism of sort. But the Africa one, they were just out there on the scorched earth.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
just
like the surface of the sun.
Yeah, just dust bowl and just that feeling, like, you know, the feeling when. But here's the feeling: you work out. But you can't hit the shower. And then you dry off, sort of driving home, and you know everything's kind of, your face is itchy or whatever. You can't shave. You got those weird dust lines around the creases of your eyes and that kind of stuff. Wasn't that painful?
It was horrible. I mean, Africa, I think environmentally Africa was the worst out of all of them. As you said, we were sitting, I mean, we just wasted away out there.
The water source was just a mud pit.
And it was filled with elephant dung. I wish it was just mud. Because we shared our water with every animal in the entire, like, savannah. Like, elephants, giraffes. Bamboo.
A couple of Puerto Ricans, they too.
Oh yes.
As a doctor, you know the disease.
I understand how they prevent you from getting ill.
Yeah, I mean, well, we had quite a few shots before we went.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, we boiled the water for 5 minutes before we drank it.
They gave you fire.
Yes. After we didn't have fire for 3 days, but then after the first tribal council.
Yeah, the new one, they didn't get fire.
Yeah, God.
And, you know, my wife was sitting there in her Hello Kitty jammies explaining to me how she get that fire started. Look, you can't get a bag of goddamn groceries up the stairs. You can't water the potted plants, but you're going to start firing a rainstorm on the island?
Right.
Please. But, see, this is my mistake. You should not talk to your wife. You shouldn't answer. You just not. Drew's learned this, yes?
Are you guys allowed to talk during Survivor? Or do you have...
Well, I have to tell her to shut up about Boston Rob every once in a while because he's so dreamy. Really. And I guess you could take the camps and break them into Ethan and Boston Rob camps and then maybe a couple of Colby stragglers. But, like, producer Ann... She's an Ethan. She's an Ethan King.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where is
Ann? Yeah.
Thank you.
She sounded off about that. Yeah. Disgusted by Boston Rob, whereas my wife, Boston Rob.
And yeah. Adam's into Boston Rob, too, kind of, pretty much.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah, but I'll tell you what happened is when they had to build the camps, that's where I said, okay, yeah. He claims to be a carpenter. Let's see what he does. Yeah. But he did build a nice camp.
Did you see what Rupert did?
Yeah,
Rupert. Bomb shelter in the beach?
He just dug a huge clam hole in the beach. And it was about 3 feet deep, and he hit like an old pirate's anchor or something. And then it started torrentially raining the next night, and it just they were sleeping in 2 foot of water underneath there. But I noticed that, and especially I noticed with the Kobe, that people are not as humble as they were the first time around. There really was a, hey, just glad to be here. Obviously, the first time, this is Survivor All-Star. People are coming back with a little attitude. Like someone like Kobe, the thing that was all the ladies loved about him is he was an attractive guy, but he had this sort of, oh, shucks, I'm just glad to be here kind of thing. Now, all of a sudden, everyone's got some game.
Yeah, Ethan must have been around when Susan revealed that she was an abuse survivor.
Yes. At least according to us. Yeah, when she flipped out on
started spinning on Jeff. Death ropes. That was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah,
it just means that she was abused when she was growing up. That's all that means.
Yeah, that's that's what we gathered.
100%.
Yeah, because she started spinning out over a situation where at the time you didn't. Yeah,
I didn't. I mean, I didn't know. I didn't see it firsthand. I mean, obviously
you saw it on the cut.
I mean, it wasn't appropriate what Richard did, but I mean, you got a lot of time and you're getting your own head out there. That's for sure.
She was on the log, taunting him, like yelling at him, come on, bring it on. You got a big nude homo there yelling, bring it on their side of the log. Well, eventually, he's going to show up. And then he gives her a little pepe taunt. I've done that before.
A little shake.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Though.
All right. That's true.
Hey, let me.
What's that, Drew?
Let me again. Speaking of taunting, get on this girl next door promotion.
All right, but sell it, would you?
Yeah, evidently
you have to read something. You power through it.
Well, I'm not going to.
And you broke into French last night.
I know that was really a mistake.
What did you say last night?
I said
French?
Now in French.
What was it?
Maintenant.
They got that many syllables in now. One of those frogs needs 8 syllables in now. They got to narrow down now. You know what I mean?
And so about this promotion?
Yeah, hurry. Yeah.
So,
but have fun with it. Take your time and sell it for
a change. There's a couple things. First of all, our listeners shamed us last night by not signing on and getting enough of these passes to go see this movie. It was shameful.
Right.
Display.
Right.
So it's at Girl Next Door Tickets at earthlink.net.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the problem. It's a weird
name. There's 172 letters in that goddamn address.
Girl Next Door Tickets at earthlink.net. You log onto that site, you get your free tickets to go see a free screening at the Arclight in Hollywood. And Ann, what is the date and time of the
panties because Ethan came in.
What is the date and time of the screening? Date and time of the screening. Come in here.
I've said this many times, Drew, about screenings. You know, a man knows when it's time to show up for a screening. We don't need a date and a time. We'll
know. What
is
the date and time of the screening?
April
7th at 7 p.m. It'll be on the invitation. But it's April 7th, 7 p.m. If you make it, come free. A pair of tickets. And everyone else who gets on the air who's 17 years of age or older will get a pair of tickets sent to them to be able to go wherever you live to see this movie.
Fantastic.
It's The Girl Next Door starring Alicia Cuthbert.
Is that the one where it's a porn?
Yeah. It's a good movie. I saw it. It's nice. It's kind of risky business for today's 17-year-old. Going to be a lot of masturbating to that that Cuthbert. I don't even know how to say her name, but it's. I don't think you do the th. I think it's just the cut. You do it like that, Cuthbert.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she's much hotter than her name. Yeah. All right.
Name's kind of hot.
It sounds like you got back from the dentist.
No, she sounds like some. Sort
yeah, she'll
of,
be there
at the premiere.
Yeah, she'll be there.
Okay.
This is the premiere. This is the special show.
Yeah, this is for our loser listeners just to show up and save $8. But that Arclight, that's an amazing facility. That nice caramel popcorn there. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what I like to do with the popcorn, Ethan.
I like to hear
it. I get the caramel popcorn, and then I get the regular popcorn, and I do a little double dip, you know, a little salt and sweet, you know what I'm saying?
Do you ever throw some M&Ms in there or Raisinets?
When I'm feeling extra naughty.
I bet.
Yeah, sometimes when I take a me day. Yeah.
This film opens April 9th.
All right. Should we have another gay culinary exchange, or should we take some calls?
Take some calls.
All right. Favorite show, Survivor, 8 o'clock, Thursday nights. Back to its original time. And last week was the compilation Best Of, which is it's fine. It gets people caught up who haven't seen every second of every episode. But
you're right.
Me, I even do the Survivor dance at the beginning of the show. I'm up there, baby. I'm in
chills,
my towel. I'm doing my thing in front of the TV.
Do you have any buffs? Do you wear buffs often?
We were talking to Jeff about about the buffs, which is they do make a big deal about the buffs. You can get your buff. How do you find your buff? Where do you wear your buff? And I've thought to myself, don't need the Survivor buff. And secondly, I would probably see a Wings mug before I saw a Survivor buff. I never saw one on the street. It's an immensely popular show with a lukewarm product that's trying to push. And it should have been like Survivor Flint or the Compass or the Leatherman or, you know, the, you know, Bowie knife or something with a, you know, something, you know, we could magnifying glass we could start a fire with or something. The buff just doesn't, I don't know, it didn't capture my imagination.
I understand that. I can see that.
And I don't like these native tribe names. I don't like the Sambuca tribe and all this kind of stuff. I want tribes with good American names like Turbo Max and, you know, Nitro.
Extreme Survivor.
Extreme Nitro and stuff like that.
Like American Gladiator type names.
Yeah, American Gladiator names are like car part names, you know. I don't like
but
all
here's what
it means.
We're opening America to cultures.
We don't need
different
that.
Cultures.
We need to start building a fence. That's our thing. That's our thing. And then start the burning. Okay. All right. Ready to move forward
please,
here?
Please.
Kat?
I beg of you.
Yeah.
I like Survivor. What can I say? You're 8. You're 16, Kat. What's up?
I've been thinking about getting my clip pierced.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard that after 2 years, you lose all sensation. I want to know if that's true.
It can happen. It's not after 2 years necessarily.
2 years is a pretty good run.
You can usually go a lot shorter.
Really?
Yeah.
Would I be able to like get it pierced and then take it out after a little while?
No,
you can only take pierces out, but sometimes people have permanent excessive irritability or numbness. There's all kinds of funky things.
Why not start with like a nipple or something?
Yeah,
I already had my nipple pierced.
Oh. Yeah, all right. Yeah. What's up with Kat? Come on,
something. Hey, Kat.
Yeah.
When are you talking about hood piercing or clitoris piercing?
The clit.
Wow, that's pretty aggressive.
Would it be different if I just got the hood pierced? Would it irritate it as much?
I don't have a vagina. I have not quite a penis, but I wouldn't call it a vagina. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? So I couldn't tell you for sure. All I can tell you is that you're 16, you're wanting to put holes in your parts, and we suspect trauma. Hmm. What's up? Where's your dad? What's going on? How come I can't hear her?
My dad's downstairs.
Uh-huh, so he's in hell. He died. He's a biker. Shot
no,
the police.
My,
what happened?
My mom's dead, but my dad's still alive.
What happened to your mom?
What?
What happened
Breast
to your
cancer.
Mom?
Breast cancer.
Yeesh. That might be enough right there.
How old were you when this happened?
I was 9.
Mm. That is, and did she fight the illness for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be devastating. And I don't know a worse age, you know, for mama to get sick at 7.5 and die at 9 kind of thing. It's really, you're old enough to know what's going on, but it's not like you're off at college.
Were things okay with her even when she was around?
She was sick my whole life, basically.
Was she tough to deal with because of that?
I didn't really know her, so.
So you never had a relationship with her, really, huh?
No.
Oh, why? She wasn't around? She was in the hospital?
She was in and out of the hospital a lot.
For 9 years, and you never had any contact with your mom?
Well, she started being sick when I was like, around 5, I think, but I don't remember anything from before.
Oh, well, 5 isn't your whole life. It's less than half before she died.
Yeah. But
as your memory goes, she's been sick your whole life.
Right.
All right. Well, that's pretty traumatic. And your dad, I mean, it must have been tough on him. I mean, this was his general just a shadow cast over the family.
Right?
Yeah.
Has he been okay
We're
to you?
Okay now.
But has he been okay to you?
Yeah. He's dated other women.
No, but when this was all going on.
I really don't remember a lot from it because I was little. And
All right. What's your dad do for a living?
He works with computers at a hospital.
Aha! I don't know. All right, Kat, there's something going on with you and your piercings.
And it may be just the trauma you've been through.
Yeah, you've been traumatized. How about some therapy?
I do see a therapist.
All right.
Okay. But I don't see how piercings is a traumatic sign.
It's a way to sort of act out on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been through the mill, and you're going to take that on yourself, lest as a way of sort of announcing to other people that you won't let that do that to them.
Yeah.
Them do that to you, rather.
It's effed up. I wish as a society we could... Look, anytime sane people say... When a group of sane people say, well, why would you go ahead and do fill in the blank... That means the person that wants to do it is effed up. I wish as a society we could stop labeling that idiot as an individual and start labeling them as a retard. And then they could get some help, or at least we could beat them into submission. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's way too much of that. Look, you want to put a hole in your most private of parts, you're effed up. There's a problem there. It should be looked into, or no. You're just going to keep poking
we're
holes in yourself.
We're not going to judge you for being effed up. But we're going to be angry with you for not being willing to come to terms with it, other than by acting out these strange ways.
And I don't appreciate being exposed to you being effed up. I can't stand looking at the guys with all the nipple rings and stuff. I don't like to see a guy's nipples in the first place, even though, you know, I'm a man who likes some nipple play. I've expressed that to Drew on a number of occasions. He doesn't seem to take it in the spirit.
Where's the vomit sound? Anderson, you get him a replay last night of something that he didn't need to hear a second time, and you won't give me the vomit sound.
I have sensitive nipples. I'm not gonna lie about it. Anderson is gone.
Oh.
He killed himself after last night.
Yeah, I can see why.
We have Ken. But the point is, Ethan, I have, you know,
hey.
I have nipples. Yeah. I enjoy, it's an erogenous zone on me, Drew. Is there something dirty about that?
Yeah.
You're a doctor?
Yes, there is. Okay. Yes, as a matter of fact.
The point, I like to, you know, I like to lick and touch the nipple. But here's my point. I'm not pounding holes in them and then walking around
announcing it to everybody.
Yeah, like Lex on Survivor. I can't stop.
Seek attention. Do they want? What's?
Well, it's various things. What we know is that it's a pattern, and if people do that, not necessarily, they're sort of within the realm of current style, like nose and lip and stuff like that. But then there's doing the genitals and, you know, having giant hoops in you, things that are difficult to look at and or so aggressively. Or aggressive acting out against your own body, that means something.
Yeah.
And it means abuse. So it means trauma.
Yeah. All right. Let's rock and roll. John?
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good. I was thinking, I know this sounds sort of morbid, but they should market the Survivor buffs to cancer patients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. how they should do it. You got cancer? Here's your answer. Ooh, wait a minute, Drew. Write
buffs.
That down. We got Survivor buffs. Enjoy your last days on this earth stylishly. Look, I'm not saying it's going to go exactly like that, but I'm just saying that could be a potential audience.
Part of
that
the hospital
is a buff,
uniform.
That's a buff audience. That's an audience that's a buff buying group. Yes, Drew?
I think it'd be cool if it was an issue when you come in the hospital. Oh, yeah. Sort of like, We're gonna survive. We're gonna make this.
Oh, you know, Survivor! Yeah.
Like if you stay over 7 days in the hospital, you get one for free.
Right. But the Grim Reaper votes you off.
Exactly.
Guy with the sickle shows up. Bring the torch up. Oh, you don't have the torch. You just got that rolling IV bag. All right, that'll do. Bring that. I'm just going ahead and crimp that off. That's good times, Drew. You see what we can do? We can laugh. Yeah. Yeah, we're talking to Gina.
Mm.
Gina.
Hi.
Oh, did I hang up on
somebody?
Yeah,
hang up on John.
No.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, sorry about that.
No problem.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
John lost 102 pounds on the Atkins diet. I need questions about it.
Well, John should call back.
Right.
I said, are we talking to Gina? I don't know. Gina.
Yes.
You're 24?
Mm-hmm. And,
well, I hung up on John to speak to you, so this better be good.
It is very good. I just had a baby 6 months ago, mm-hmm. and I'm 2 months pregnant now.
Wow.
Yeah, and yeah. I want to know how it's going to affect my health and the health of the baby I'm carrying now.
Mm. Should have tied that Survivor buff in front of her vagina, Drew.
Yeah. Oh. Using
the
penis.
Yeah, to stop the penis. Yeah, look at Ethan with dropping the dental dam bomb.
It's good.
Nice. It means he's been around the block a couple of times. He knows about the dental dam. I mean, he's got some lesbian friends or he's done some traveling. We'll get to the bottom of it during the commercial. Hey, Gina.
Gina, what do you mean affect the health of the child? What are you referring to?
I mean, I have a cerclage, and also I have to have a cesarean section.
Because you had one previous.
Mm-hmm.
You had a cerclage on the first one and a cesarean.
That's where you cut out all the pictures of your friends from high school.
My second child. I have two other children.
The last pregnancy, you had a C-section and a cerclage. Is that right?
What's a cerclage?
I'll have to get to it in a second. Let me just straighten this out.
Try to work the buff into it. If you can.
The buff would work for a cerclage.
It would.
It's perfect. It's slight.
Right.
And so, of course, you're going to need the same thing this procedure, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and what's your question?
I just want to know, is it going to, to have to have a different cerclage, would you know, or, you know, is it going to be more traumatic on me this time?
Hold on a second. Are you doing a lot of drugs?
No, I'm nervous.
Oh, okay, hold on. Cerclage, it says, like, friends forever, and then it shows pictures.
I need the anatomy book.
I don't want to look at that book.
Is where they literally sew up the cervix so the baby doesn't drop out of it.
Oh, really?
When
do they do that?
When people have cervical incompetence, which usually is second trimester.
So spontaneous
abortions, miscarriages.
I mean, you could lose a kid like a truck losing a tire going down the highway, right?
Yeah, it's one thing, just kind of fall out.
But then they could get run out.
Yeah, that's like a tire. Yeah, yeah. If you're driving fast.
When we talk and fall out, I mean, be walking
that's
down the street.
It's a miscarriage. So they miscarriage. Sew this off, so this thing the baby's stuck up here.
How do they know that it's spastic or it's not operating properly?
No, I'm not an obstetrician, so I'm not sure. Maybe it starts to dilate, or maybe she's had a couple of failures mid-pregnancy before.
So it starts dilating too early in the run, and they're scared, so they get up there and sew it up. Wow. And, of course, then they can't pee for 5 or 6 months, yes? No?
That's why I got the anatomy book.
To me, the urine comes out of all this stuff. It all just comes falling out of the same hole, right, Drew?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't urinate with a tampon in, right?
No, of course not.
Of course not. That made perfect sense to me up until about 18 months ago.
When you got married.
Right, please. Gina?
Yes?
All right. So, Gina, and then, of course, sometimes they will give you an attempt at a vaginal delivery when you've had a C-section, but this recently, I think they would just do another C-section.
Why are you pregnant? Yeah. Hey, hold on. Quiet down. Why are you pregnant again so fast?
Oh.
Same guy?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Same guy?
Oh, yes. Married,
what have you been doing? Good question is, what have you been using for birth control?
At first we were using the patch, and then we tried natural family planning, and
that does not work.
Yeah,
I know.
You're living proof of that.
Natural family
planning. That means timing it.
Oh, just the rhythm, right?
Yeah, that doesn't work. Hey, did you have a couple of second trimester failures in pregnancy?
My first child, he was born at 24 weeks.
Yeah. Is he okay?
He's very healthy, a little boy
now.
Then they
did a cerclage the next procedure?
Yeah.
Next pregnancy?
All right.
Didn't have a chance to do it with the first one, so.
All right.
There we go.
Hi, baby. Easy with the humping. I imagine, are you being penetrated right now?
No.
Imagine just never not having a penis in you.
She wears one.
Just imagine it's like nonstop penetration.
What's some Groucho Marx's famous line?
You wouldn't join a vagina that would have you as a member?
I love cigars, but once in a while I take it out of my mouth.
Oh, yeah. that Groucho.
Yeah.
All right. Even Zahn is here from Survivor, my favorite TV show. Thursday nights on CBS, 8 o'clock. I'm going to be doing the Survivor dance about 22 hours from now, Drew. And I'm up there, man.
This song this year is a combination of every song.
Is it?
Yeah.
I go to a place where, I sit here and I judge, but when I'm up and I'm into my tribal thing, I'm like some sort of a shaman who's high in peyote. I'm dancing around like
a
pal.
Indeed you
are. It's magical, Drew. Yes, yes. It's magical. Sensitive nipples to the wind.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's great.
It's great.
I'm just getting an image. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. You should see me.
Can we please cue up the vomit sound?
Just cue
that. He doesn't have access to that. Yeah. Oh, and we watch you see who the Tylenol pushed through the... push through the pain guy. You know, I always like when they do that, too, when they go after the ball game or something, they go, Gillette in the edge to victory goes to, you know, they try to work the close shave. The Gillette close shave of the night goes to, they do that sort of thing. The Tylenol pushing through the pain. But they should have given it to Jeff Probst for getting his lunch handed to him by Sue, just screaming at him. He's just standing there like an idiot in shorts. He didn't know what was going on. She peed off on him. He should have got the Tylenol play through the pain.
He should have been out there.
We saw the abridged version of it, right? I mean,
that went on for a while.
Well, in a way, you know, you put the mentally ill in these horribly stressful situations, and there you go.
You calling Ethan?
No, I mean,
Yeah. We're all crazy. Now, all that energy, what we're talking about with Sue freaking out on Jeff was that's the victim. Yeah. That's the victim stuff. And that's like when you're in front of somebody in the market and they start crying and they're looking at you and they're screaming, tears are pouring down, and it's over a thing of Dinty Moore stew, and you think, well, what's the big deal? Like, every time you say to yourself, and you do, you spend your whole life going, what's the big deal? I don't understand. All I did was honk at the guy, and he started to, or all I did was this, or I cut in front, and that's what that is. That's not necessarily raped by uncle, but right. You're not getting what the situation is. The situation with Hatch was almost nothing. That was a 2, and everyone got a 10. All right, let's take a little break, Drew.
Yeah.
I get one of those buffs on me.
All right.
All right, Ethan here from Survivor. We'll be right back.
91X's Love Line is back. Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla are not responsible for any prison riots. If you need a question answered immediately, please send 2 cartons of cigarettes to 91X and bend over, bend over, bend over.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ethan Son is here from Survivor. You know better as Ethan from Survivor. Just got voted off. Yeah. Very exciting. My favorite show. I did not, I don't like to see the perennials go. It's a very interesting game in that there are folks like Kobe got voted off, Ethan got voted off. Some of the strong, dominant types will get voted off, and then there'll just be some sort of 40-something-year-old mousy chick that just flies right under the radar for like 2 months. It's incredible.
I mean, do you value that way of playing the game? Do you think that's a good way? I mean, if you look at the people left now,
yeah,
everyone. There's only 3 people left that have been in the final 4. The rest have never made the final.
Oh, really? Yeah. And the rest, what is there, 9?
There's 10 left.
10,
well,
10 other people.
Did you vote prominent people off?
No.
People that could challenge you?
I played the opposite. I tried to stick with them because I felt we could protect each other.
It's sort of like a golf tournament where Tiger Woods gets knocked out early, and then there's 3 guys who you never heard of who are sort of playing for the cup, and it's sort of in one way it makes it exciting because it's like, wow, who wants to see Tiger Woods win again? On the other hand, I don't know these guys' names, and they're not exactly captivating the nation. Mm-hmm. And Survivor is really interesting because, you know, you would just think, well, oh, Survivor, the strongest survive. You're going to get the biggest, buffest sort of ex-Marine type of guy who's going to win the whole thing every time. I mean, just going in, I would have thought that. You would not think that a, you know, postmenopausal housewife from Idaho could hang in much longer than a lot of the guys. But the reason they do is because they don't pose a threat. Yep. They can have their alliances. They can sort of fly under the radar. Like, you don't even really notice they're there. And it's an interesting dynamic that the women and that the weaker links end up hanging around. Sometimes a strong person will drag a weak person in, just like when they put a few goats on the ship so they can slaughter them at sea. You know what I mean? They drag them along with them. They're gonna bleed them at some point, and then somehow the goat gets loose and stabs them in the ass on the 17th week, Drew. You understand?
Exactly what I was thinking.
It's a very goats. Image. It's always the goat.
It's the goat that gets loose and stabs you in the ass.
Chupacabra got loose on the boat.
A chupacabra. That's right. All right. So where are we, Drew?
We're going to play a little Germany or Florida.
Ooh, Germany or Florida. This game is huge. I'm sure when you guys were on that island in Panama, you were
played it all
probably
time.
Past the time of playing Germany or Florida. Kara?
Hi.
Germany or Florida. It's Germany or Florida.
It's a theme song. Yeah.
Okay, hi.
Hey.
Okay. In February of 1994,
Kara talks like she has 6 retainers in her mouth.
I'm
like
from
she's
Valley.
That much. No kidding. I'm from North Hollywood. You can't get any flatter or more valley than that.
My best friend lives in North Hollywood near the Thai Temple.
She should kill herself.
She wants to.
See? That's it. That's what it says. Welcome to North Hollywood. Now kill yourself.
Or leave.
Okay. In February of 1994, a pediatric orthopedist was detained by authorities pending further investigation of charges of fondling young boys who were his patients. Mm-hmm. According to the authorities, one mother complained that in the course of 35 office visits, her son made for foot problems. The boy was given 35 gloveless rectal exams. Another said her son received a rectal exam before surgery on an ingrown toenail. The orthopedist attorney said the charges reflect differences in the interpretation of the way he practices medicine. Everyone has a different way they practice medicine.
True.
So it's not normal to get a rectal exam before?
Because I don't care how you practice, that's not part of a foot exam.
Really, the rectal?
Not part.
Really? How about them taking my underpants to operate on my hand? That's part. That's a healthy part of a hand surgery. Give me your underpants.
Yeah. Nor have I ever heard of a rectal exam being done without a glove.
All right. To me, that's I don't know. On one hand, it's like this guy's a horrible pedophile. On the other hand, wow, what a doctor! No glove. You know what I mean?
It's commitment.
Yeah. All right. This is tough. It smacks of Florida because everything evil smacks of Florida, but the pedophile seems like something that could really go nuts in Germany.
Especially with the back door
thing. And I don't know if they allow people with advanced degrees in Florida. I know they can practice outside of Florida. I'm not sure if people with more than a GED are actually let onto Florida soil.
I mean, 35 visits in Florida is a lot of visits. You know, Germany seems like you could do that.
Germany can't because they're too busy. You can't get access.
I'm going Germany. You're going Florida. Drew goes Florida.
You couldn't get in. Go Florida. Times Germany.
All right. Well, she did correct something. I heard her stumble over an officer. She started to say officer, and then she said authorities. And I don't know if she thought
I've
that officer.
I've never said authority, Adam. You're putting words in my mouth.
Well, what did you say?
Officer.
Actually, I was just nervous. I'm kind of dyslexic, so...
Well,
I
it's
really
all those retainers are putting
newspaper.
Pressure on your brain.
All right, Adam's going to join up in Florida. Ethan?
I'm going to go Florida.
All right. What's the answer?
Florida.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Score.
Okay, Adam, I just want to say I think you're really incredibly sexy.
Yeah. I'm like the ugly Ethan. I think if you had a blind date, And I was the guy you're going on the blind date with, and you talked me up enough, you would expect Ethan.
But then you get Adam.
Then you get me.
Have you ever grown up? Ethan says something interesting about this, about the healthcare.
People
have a grave misconception. When you have universal healthcare, you can get it, but you got to wait in line, and you're limited your access because there's just not enough to go around. You just can't do that.
They have that.
You
in Germany?
Don't ever get to go wherever you want, wherever you want.
Really? Yeah.
No way. Canada. You have to come here to get your health care.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true. You know, there are all these other countries. I got these blowhards like my mom always sitting around. You know, it's always first off. In Canada, they believe that you should... First, why don't you haul your fat ass up north then, honey? By the way, you should get out of North Hollywood then. Right? But you love Canada. Hit Canada, by the way. All you people that they're in Canada, they... But then why does everyone from around the world have to fly out to New York, Chicago, or L.A. to get something fixed? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got to fly into Mexico and get a gallbladder removed?
I did work for Canadian Healthcare for a while because they had a contract with us because they can't meet the needs of their country. So they have to come down here and use our infrastructure. And then after doing it for a year, actually it's almost 2 years, they went, sorry, new law. We're not going to pay our bill.
Oh, really?
Yep, new law.
So as Canucks owe you a few bucks.
Yeah, that's it. We'll maybe give you 10 cents on the dollar if you agree. And we're not sure when we pay that.
Really?
Yeah. The 10 cents not going to be 1 year.
Two years of work.
I have a picture of a guy on a horse and a queen and a and Gordie Howe. So they owe you money, the Canadians do? I'll get it out of them. I'll shake that goddamn country like a piggy bank.
What do you think of that new liberal radio network?
Oh. Well, listen, if Janine Garofalo is going to be on, it's going to be funny. Because she's a funny, funny gal. I don't know. I mean, here. Let me just say this about all that stuff, which is, I don't think that people get into politics as much. I think people use it as an excuse. Like, you know, Howard Stern has a huge audience. He's very liberal about certain things. He's very Republican oriented in other matters. You know, it's like on one hand he wants to say whatever he wants and not worry about the FCC. On the other hand, he's first guy wants to go over there and bomb Iraq. You know, it's hard to categorize the guy. But one thing you can say about him is that he's talented and that he's funny,
entertaining.
And I think oftentimes when things fail, like this liberal whatever, which will probably fail in a short period of time, they'll say, well, America just wasn't ready for... No, America is ready for something funny, and that wasn't funny. Or provocative, and that wasn't provocative. That's what America is ready for. It's so easy and so convenient when people do it. Well, America's not ready.
It was so funny, too. In the interview in the New York Times, they were saying, well, you know, liberals are such much nicer, compassionate human beings. I thought, wait a minute. I don't care which extreme you're in. If you're extreme left or extreme right, not nice. Not nice.
No,
not interested in people. Not interested at all. Interested in ideology. Interested in being angry. Well, they're both extreme.
Here's the thing. I come from a liberal environment, and I always thought they were there because you think they're nicer because they're the ones who are anti-war, but they're the ones that are throwing paint on chicks with fur, and they're very aggressive that way. And, you know, hey, I got Jesus in Hippo Flop. That's my art project. You guys got to pay for it, by the way. Yeah, that's it. They're angry. All right, everyone's angry. Here's all I'm saying. How come liberals can't be funny and the right wing can be funny or provocative or how come... No, I'm not saying how come they can't.
Here's the thing.
Why are there so many successful sort of Rush Limbaugh types or Dennis Prager, whoever you name, Bill O'Reilly types, and where is the left-wing versions of that? How come they don't do well? They come on and they get spit out and they're off the air in no time. And I'll tell you why. It has to do with taking stands and making judgments. And the whole thing about the left-wing ideology is we can't judge. Mm-hmm. We cannot judge. Look, what those people do in Iraq, what the Taliban does, what the government does, that's their culture. It's up to them to decide what to do with their own culture. It's their own. We cannot judge. For good or for bad, this is their angle. We can't judge. Well, when you can't judge, it doesn't make for very provocative listening. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to judge, unfortunately, if you're sort of riding the fence and saying, well, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I can't tell you what to do, and you can't tell me what to do. So it ends up being like oatmeal with no brown sugar. Yeah, why do you need a microphone to tell everyone to do what they're going to do without you? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't believe necessarily that Rush Limbaugh believes in everything he says. He just says it like he means it. It gets people's ire up, and next thing you know, you got ratings. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, during the break, I'm going to out and burn a cross on the lawn. Yes, Drew.
For ratings?
No.
Oh.
Because I believe 100% it's the right thing to do. Now, I like radio. I like when radio guys do this. This is like when they go, listen. Hey, when I say the masseuse, prostitute, you go see this person, you strip naked, they oil you up, put their hands all over their body. Call me now, 1-800-LMA-191. If you think that this is not out now, prostitutes, give me a call, 1-800. They just stir things up. You know, they say they don't believe it.
You know, he takes exploits that fully.
Who?
Phil Henry.
Oh, Phil
takes
Henry.
Full advantage of that.
That's right. That's why he's a genius. All right, Drew, now that we've plugged every goddamn radio show but our own, is there something on some Santa Monica Junior College station you want to plug that's
you
on
can
at this time?
Plug the Girl Next Door tickets at earthling.net so people...
That is not our show.
It is our show. It's our screening.
I'll tell you what to do. Grab a pad and pencil, or in our listeners' case, a crayon.
Or just a bark, tree bark or charcoal.
And a hunting knife you used to stab the prostitute with. And when we come back, Drew's going to give you a web address, if we remember, that has more letters in it than the Greek alphabet. Yes, Drew?
Certainly, yeah.
How many does the Greek outfit have?
I don't know.
Okay. All that college, huh? Look at Ethan over here knows.
Where'd you go to college?
Vassar College.
Vassar. Yeah. Not bad.
Girl school.
Oh, yeah. But he's smart.
He used to be a girl school. 60-40 now.
Smart.
That's smart. That was smart.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ethan is here from Survivor, my favorite TV show on tomorrow night, Drew. Cannot wait. Gonna do my dance. But you know what? It will be with head hung low because Ethan was voted off. And that's very troubling to me.
Now I have time to see that movie you're talking about.
That's right. Yeah, what is that, Drew?
You were going to mention all these letters.
Ah, yes. Girl Next Door, tickets at earthlink.net. I saw this movie. If you like going out of your house, you're going to like this movie.
You go to the Arc Light for free.
Go to the Arc Light for free. And let me tell you something about the Arc Light, Kitty. This is not the drive-in in the Impala with your dad breaking wind up on the front vinyl seat there. You know what I mean?
April 7th, 7 p.m.
That's right. You just go to Girl Next Door tickets at earthlink.net, and you get yourself signed up for some free tickets there. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
You go see this movie. It's a good movie. I saw it already. Yeah, I could see things early. I get them over with.
Screening.
Yeah. I actually saw the 2004 Summer Olympics already.
Nice.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah.
We did all right.
Good.
America did pretty good. Oh, I don't want to spoil it for you guys.
No. How was the security over there?
We can't really talk about it, can you?
There was, I can't talk about it, but we did lose, we lost a bobsledding team, which shouldn't have been there during the summer anyway, and, well, it's an important lesson I think they learned, but Greece was a nice place, pretty good weather, and former Soviet Union did pretty good in boxing, and I don't want to give too much away. Cuba did pretty good in boxing in the heavyweight division. America, we did pretty good, too. I won't give you a medal total because I don't want to ruin
Russia,
it for you guys.
There's no weightlifting, clean and jerk, weightlifting. Good.
Clean and jerk, they did very, very well at that. And it was good. I'll tell you about the pentathlon, decathlon.
Any new sports this year?
They did some exhibition sports, I think, this year. Hmm. I think what do they have for the summer? They got rodeo clowning, where you actually jump out of the barrel in suspenders with the long cutoffs on. And by the way, rodeo clown. You know, like there's certain jobs that you get a little more poontang than you deserve and are a little less dangerous and a little less thrilling than people make it out to be. And I will say firemen for this matter. Firemen get the chicks love firemen. Society loves firemen. And it's great, but it's really for guys who just like hanging out with other guys and only working 8 days out of the month. You know what I mean? All right. They get paid pretty good. And, yeah, there's danger involved, but not every day.
Right.
Rodeo clowning.
Every day.
Every day, and it's got to be the hairiest gig in the world because there's some, you know, 2,500-pound Brahma bull with a sheepshank knot on its nutsack, which is making it go insane, by the way, which I never even knew about. And your job is to dress up like you're in a Lucy skit and jump in front of it and get its attention. I mean, just being out in the rodeo ring would be enough. Just hiding in the barrel would be enough. But jumping out like, hey! Hey, Brahma Bull, over here, look at me in the bright colors. In the PF Flyers, and the cutoff.
By the way, the barrels have been used since 1840. We can't do something more safe, a little more modern.
And they train to do this. They go to school.
They go to rodeo school. Clown college. I'd be in there
clowns.
In a shark cage. They have to lower me in a shark cage.
Think about clowns. I was reading about a patient with Asperger's syndrome, which is sort of an autistic-like thing. Like they think maybe Einstein had Asperger's. And they were saying that Asperger's have pathological fear of clowns. So it's like they can't make sense of it. It's like just this scary, weird thing.
Wow. So imagine you get a Brahma bull with Asperger syndrome.
With a nut on his nutsack tied off.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's a hairy gig. Just getting thrown like a rag doll by these huge bees. And again, doesn't translate into 1 ounce of poontang. Nothing. Just
I know that's how you measure all human endeavors.
You know how
maybe they're lady clowns out there, too, that they can hook up.
No, they don't have. And if they are, they're bull dykes.
Austin?
Speaking of bulls. And let me tell you this, Drew. You know how they take their makeup off each night?
How?
With tears.
Oh.
With tears.
What's that?
With tears.
Let's all just think about that. Austin, what's going on?
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're 16.
Yeah, sometimes after I'm done masturbating, I'll get like these spots on my scrotum, and it's like really shiny spots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you sexually active?
No.
Shiny spots?
Just irritation, just inflammation. Just
put them in a rock tumbler?
No, it's just weird things to rub. It's on the scrotum, right?
Yeah.
How do you, what are you even doing with your scrotum when you're beating off?
Nothing.
Yeah,
it's just like jock itch and from rubbing, that sort of thing, chafing,
gold bonds.
Oh,
are you in a weird position?
No.
I just think it just happens to be examining his nuts at that time. So
I see. Yeah, like women do the breast exam in the shower. Okay,
and then it's always there.
Right.
For women, it's a sexual act?
Yeah. I haven't gone, I have not gone at my sack in quite some time. I think I'm maturing.
It's nothing, Austin. Somebody should look at it just to be sure, but just some over-the-counter cortisone cream. Maybe you tell Austin your theory about rape.
Hey. Who, me?
Yeah. And it being not a sexual crime. It's just any other kind of crime. I mean,
true, we are leapfrogging.
No, because he was talking about how I was asking whether a breast exam. He was masturbating and did a scrotal exam.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering whether the breast exam had a similar sort of sexual nature to it.
Well, rape, and I'll tell this to Ethan, too, it is not a crime. It's not a sexual crime.
Right.
It's a violent crime.
Right, you know that. Violent crime.
Yes, so okay. It's a crime of violence.
Just like law. Like
where you come. Commit. You come, though. But it's violent up until the point where you... But do not mistake it with a sexual crime.
No.
This is a violent, violent crime. Which you do. You come.
You ejaculate.
You come. You ejaculate at the end. At the end. Or that's how you know when you're
done. It's like a bank robber coming up, taking the bank.
Okay, that's the point. It is no different than a physical assault. That if I jumped into a liquor store, jumped over the counter, pistol whipped the servant behind the counter, and then came, it would not. Drew, would you listen to me? It would not be any no different than if some guy was just walking out to his car at night, out front of a bar, and I just came sailing out over the hood and just start smashing his head against the parking block and came. It would be no different than that. Do you understand? It's not sexual. It is a violent crime where you come.
Where you ejaculate.
Yes, you ejaculate.
Every violent crime.
Like every.
Yeah, okay.
And don't think our boys over in Iraq aren't it's war. That's all I'm saying.
So everything is rape.
Everything is rape. That's my point.
Or nothing.
Or it's nothing. Right. Or it's nothing. All right. Ethan is here from Survivor. Speaking of rape, he got tossed off that island much sooner than he needed to, Drew.
Yeah,
much sooner.
I ejaculated.
Well, you ejaculated on. The crime was committed against you. Not sexual. Not sexual.
No, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Ethan's on is here tonight. Yeah. See, I feel like I know Ethan.
Ethan and I spent a weekend in Pittsburgh together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Back in the day. In the day.
And you, yeah?
Yeah.
No violent crimes.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah. Except, no.
All right. Ethan, of course, you know from Survivor Africa, where he won.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. You know, I've been thinking about, now that everyone's an all-star, trying to sort out the ones who won from the ones that made it to week number five. Yeah. And, Ethan's a big winner. Yeah. Now,
of the winners on the all-star.
Oh, really? Yeah. Nice.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's like you're the next number one loser.
Exactly.
That's the way I look at my life.
Number one losing winner.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, yeah. You got $1 million.
Yeah.
I know everyone talks about, no one wants to talk about what they do with their money. Ethan being, you're Jewish, right?
Yes, I am.
All right, so you kept it. You didn't go out and do a Coke binge and buy yourself a set of pewter swizzle sticks or something and then get a nice ride and put a big screen TV in it or something. No, not the Jews. They're very crafty that way, Drew. They keep their money. They're smart. They think about their kids' college and stuff like that. They invest. But the $1 million, does it end up coming in the form of one check?
Yeah. One check, like two commas.
Really?
It's all there.
Wow. Yeah. So you physically get to see the check that says $1 million with your name on it.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
And then you got to pay the taxes on it, right?
I just took it to one of those checks cash places.
You just hammered it.
Corner 23.
They got 150 grand. They take their 15% trip.
Yeah. Of course, yes.
Standing in line behind a bunch of El Salvadorian guys. And right next door to the pawn shop to get his guitar out.
Yeah.
So $1 million, mm-hmm. and And do you just, how's it work? Do you just immediately pay the taxes on that? Does somebody tell you what it is? Does the government do it?
Yeah. No expense. I mean, you just.
You can't write off like chapstick and a loincloth or something?
I incorporated myself.
Right.
I made a business out of myself, which is a little bit of a tax break.
Right.
I started a charity with my
$1 million. That's right.
With Shield, the million?
Yeah.
Shield Charity. Bury the money.
401c3.
Keep the
501c3. Yeah. In the Bahamas. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Offshore. Yeah. Smart. So with the $1 million,
yes.
What did the government want out of that?
In New York City, it's pretty steep. And it was something around between 43% and 46%.
Right. So
it's getting close to California.
Yeah. So here's the whole thing, kiddies. Go ahead and just whack everything in half, pretty much. I mean, now I don't know what it would have been if you were in Vegas, for instance.
It would have been 38%, something like that.
They don't have
no state taxes.
State taxes, so it would have been in the 30s or something. I think people are under the misinterpretation that you tax like 30%. No, you win $1 million, just go ahead and whack that in half.
I tried to claim it in Africa, but it didn't work.
Oh, that would have been great.
That would have been great. Huh?
You could have bought a tribe to war on your behalf, like a violent coup, take over the U.S. government. So basically, you walk away with $572,000 or whatever it is. Not bad for a few months' work, but again, $1 million ain't $1 million. $2 million is $1 million.
Yeah.
And good times there. There you go. Now, here's my whole thing. This is all I want. To me, Ethan has paid his debt to society. Single man, right?
I have a girlfriend.
You have a girlfriend, but you have no children.
No.
You're
no dependent.
Yeah, you're not on the dole. You're not on welfare. No. You're not taxing anything. You're not taxing any system. You don't have 8 illegitimate kids that are all being taken care of on welfare. He's doing nothing. It's just a single guy. He's just banging his way through New York. That's all he's doing. He paid $500,000. Let's leave him alone.
Thanks.
He's done.
For how long?
Thank you. 6 months.
Or can we give him his own cop?
Oh, that's what I want. I want my own garbage man.
Garbage man.
Yeah. He paid $1 million.
Idea.
And here's the whole thing. This is what I don't like.
It's free parking, I'd be happy with.
Yeah, you should get a little something. Like here's the thing. When you go into a casino, this is what I have to yell at my mom all the time. Because she's always like, well, you think it's fair that you should get... Look, here's the deal. I pay in 1 year what you've paid in 50 years. How come I don't get a little more? Like, here's the deal. You go to a casino, you see some schlum playing the nickel slots. You think he gets his room comped? No. You see the high roller in there. He's got hundreds of thousands of dollars of chips in front of him that he's parting with. He gets the comped room. It's just good business. They don't give it to him because they feel sorry for him. It's a business. That's how they do it. You want to play the nickel slots? You don't get anything. You get a watered down Tom Collins. That's it. You get a couple of hookers and a penthouse if you're going to part with a few $100,000. Why can't we have that? And by the way, as I've screamed at my mom, too, when we were talking about this, about wanting my own garbage man, because, I paid $1 million in taxes last year, whatever the hell it was. Here's my own thing. She's like, well, why should you? Here's what I say. Hey, you want to pay $1 million, honey, and get your own garbage man? No, I didn't think so. And quiet down. Pass the lentil stew. Horrible. All right. Am I right? You should be done. Or get your own garbage man.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, when you get a parking ticket, you should be able to go, paid $500,000. Don't need to pay the $3,650.
Right.
That's right. Thank you. Amber?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Okay, well, I had a boyfriend about a year and a half ago, and he cheated on me constantly while having sex with my friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in,
how old was he? How old was he?
At the time, I was 15, and he was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then, now the boyfriend that I have right now, I'm 16, and he's 21.
Oh, much better. Get an older one. That's better.
Yeah.
Smart.
That's because I don't look my age. That's why I really don't.
I'm being facetious.
Huh?
I'm not being serious.
Oh.
You don't look your age, but you are your age. A 9-year-old.
Yeah, you are maybe a little
less than your age.
So, just the whole point is that I don't trust him, and I met him online.
We don't trust him either. So there you go. You shouldn't trust him. There's certain situations you shouldn't trust people.
Yeah, and then, I totally trusted him, though. Like, everything was going great, and then I was online one day. I stayed home from school, and I was online, and I acted like I was somebody else. I had a different screen name and everything, and he started talking to me and telling me that he was going to give me his number and everything, and he wanted to meet this
girl. There you go. There, that's it. That's who you're dealing with. That's who that guy is.
What a shock.
By the way.
Where do you think he met this guy? The yoga class, by the way? You met him online. This is what he does.
And by the way, a good measure, a good sort of yardstick for not trusting someone is when they are a criminal. Yeah. And a 21-year-old and a 16-year-old, it's criminal.
Yes. Unless you're in Hawaii or three or four other states, which makes things very confusing for us when we travel. Yes, Dora?
For you.
Yes. Amber?
Because you commit violent crimes.
Yeah, well.
Same thing. Same thing.
Orgasm.
Same thing.
Amber, okay, you're right. Look, where's your dad? Who's not supervising you?
Well, it's just me and my mom.
Ah, that is your dad? Yeah. Where is your dad? What happened to him?
I was really small. He cheated on my mom. So.
Surprise.
Shocking.
Huh?
It's just, that's the pattern.
Of course he did, so that's who you hook up with. It's great that you're attracted, that just people in general, the human condition, that you're attracted to really the horrible, venomous, abusive people, only if you had that in your life already.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. All right, so Amber, break up with this guy.
But I, like, love this guy.
All right, what are you calling about that?
Well, listen, leave us alone then, but here's the thing. Please do not get pregnant, goofball.
Oh, no.
All right, that's all I care about then.
Okay, then.
All right, look, here's the thing, everybody.
Yeah, after pill.
I'm into
condom.
I'm into cutting my losses as a society. You guys get your hearts broken. You might get beat up, and you might get a venereal disease. But if you don't get pregnant, I'm still going to look at it as a small victory for society.
Well, at least the next generation won't continue to be victimized.
Right. Maybe next time Ethan wins Survivor, he gets to keep $550,000. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Keep inching toward $700,000. All right. It's good
times.
The
problem here is you're heartless. The deal is you're heartless. You don't care for other people. That's why you don't want to pay your taxes.
I got to motivate people. That's all.
That's heartless. How dare you?
Yeah. You know, the communism's really worked out. Look at all the communist countries. See, the all those people dying each year on inner tubes trying to get to Cuba. Wait a minute. They're not going toward Cuba. They're coming here. Gee, what does that say? Well, the weather's so horrible over there in Cuba, you know. Beaches polluted. Now they're trying to get here. Isn't that about all you need to know? And when are we going to bomb Cuba? Aren't we done with Cuba? We just go kill Cuba. Let's just go. Look, we've had an ass full of you. Fidel, whatever. Look, we're just going to clean you out. You're done. It didn't work. You guys, here's the thing about Cuba. You guys put your money on the wrong goddamn horse. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Well, on a sick guy.
Well, the Cubans took a sick guy and let them run their country, but then Fidel Castro put his money on the wrong horse.
Oh, right.
He bet on Russia.
Yes.
And you know what? Your horse lost.
Yeah.
Now let's take our horse and bomb your horse.
Yeah.
That's it. So let's get Cuba. Let's go. Let's get the mob back in Cuba. Those people haven't seen a new car in 55 years. Let's get the mob back there. Get a casino. Ethan's living in New York. What was it? 2-hour plane flight or something? How long is it going to take to get from New York? You'll be hanging in Havana, smoking cigars, prostitutes, gambling,
violent crimes,
leaving a trail, literally a trail of violence back to the hotel room. You know what I'm saying, Drew? I'd like to go to Cuba.
It's great. It's beautiful.
Drew's been to Cuba. Yes.
It's beautiful.
You had an audience with Fidel.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like an old man who...
Doesn't look old at all.
He just... Yeah,
you
but when, he,
yeah. Wow.
When you have a full beard and you wear that Gomer Pyle cap at 35...
And the just Gomer Pyle jumper with the grenade belt.
Really? The grenade
yeah,
belt?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's crazy.
Someone's got to pull the pin on one of those things.
Yeah,
he's can't get rid of this guy.
He's so nuts. Yeah,
he just sat there and told baseball stories for 3 hours.
Really? 3 hours. And was angry when people said, "We got to sort of."
I got to go number two again.
I mean, he made no sense. He was derailed. It really is not a well man. Yeah.
That's all right. He's doing a great job. His little experiment worked. Yes.
Of course.
All right. We can't judge. We can't judge just because they're killing themselves trying to get to this country. It's all the same. We have a horrible country. Raquel?
Hi, I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm. What's up, baby doll?
Anytime after I orgasm and I go pee, like, it burns really bad.
That's when you masturbate or just during sex?
Well, either one I've noticed. Like, either time.
Do you try to pee immediately after orgasm?
No, it just, like, I use the bathroom afterwards, and it, like...
How long burns. Afterwards?
Well, like, just when I have to go, like, maybe 5 minutes afterwards, or,
you
know,
later on. Could you wait longer?
Yeah, I've waited longer, and it just, it hurts.
Still burns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, irritation or venereal disease, Drew?
Germany or Florida? What Adam is alluding to is that your urethra is either spasming or irritated, inflamed in some way, and sexually transmitted disease is
so should I, like, go to the doctor?
Yeah, it should be checked, but I don't think that's actually what's happening. I think you're probably sort of mechanically irritating the area.
Well, who are you?
Putting things inside?
Just having sex, right?
No, it's masturbates. Yeah.
Oh, this is masturbation, but
it's either or.
Try doing it without putting something inside. See if you get the same thing.
Okay.
You may not.
All right.
I experimented with not putting something inside once, and it paid dividends.
Did it? Yeah. You still had an orgasm without something in your rectum?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Proud of you.
Yeah. Remember those glasses you thought you'd lost 10 years back? Turns out I found them.
Are they still keistered? Are they?
Part of them, because the arm broke off.
Oh, so they weren't in the case.
I can arrange a new temple.
Yeah. Yeah. They were Duke Focal, they call them. Hey, Raquel?
Yeah?
Yeah. Are you okay? Is everything good? Were you abused? You sound like a mess.
Oh, really? Why? I'm just tired.
Okay. All right, baby. Take a nap, huh?
All right. Thank you.
They say kids aren't getting enough sleep, Drew.
Yeah, I did a CNN thing about that.
You did? Mm-hmm. But did anyone say it's because they're just playing Xbox and watching porn on the internet and eating junk food? It's not it's not like they're out in the fields or anything.
About half of kids had a television in their room. 20% of babies had a TV in their room.
Wow. Really?
20% of babies. And that was thought to be one of the major contributing factors. The kids with the TV in their room slept less well, had more difficulty going to sleep, that sort of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well, what is it?
What?
I had a TV in my room.
You did?
See, look, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Son of a bitch. You had a TV in your room when you were a kid?
Yeah. Yeah, I did for a while, too. For a while.
Really?
Yeah, it was awful.
I mean,
it was
a small one. I mean, if that had any consolation.
Well, probably helped.
Black and white.
Yeah.
Drew. So, yeah.
What do you got there?
This is promotional.
When did you have a TV in your room?
For a while, like from, I think like 7 to 10, something like that.
I had a piece of sheet metal. I had a piece of foil put up. I could see my own reflection in it sometimes.
Mine was almost
that was extravagant. Yeah. Would you have the Zenith with the metal thing to bang the crap out of it?
And that sound that you don't even hear today. That sheet metal buzz. Boom, boom.
Makes a buzzing sound.
Buzzing and all that stuff. And it had a little dial on the side. You change channel with a dial on the side.
And it sounds, but people, kids today, they don't realize that, like your TV sound more like a space heater when it got a little out of whack. Start buzzing.
But when you pounded it, it sounded like, you know, your school locker.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, that's what ours sound like. You guys don't realize that a lot of the exercise we got was beating the crap out of our appliances. Like, you could go at stuff, toaster ovens, and TV sets, you punch and palm stuff, slamming stuff. You used to beat the crap out of the phone a lot. Remember a lot of phone violence? Now everything's got a chip in it. It goes to hell. Like, you can't take a flat screen TV and just start socking it. You'll destroy it. My TV is like, it responded to violence.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
like,
that's why you did it.
The violence on TV. This device that was on TV. It was on top of the TV.
Every TV.
Physically violent on it.
It had a vertical hole
on
problem.
TV. You
I
get
got
it, Drew?
I got it.
On
the TV.
On the TV. Yes. Not in on TV. On. Pow.
But they all would flip. They'd have that vertical problem.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then you'd pow. Hat, boom. It would shape right up.
Yeah, I know that. What kind of invention was this that a sock from a 13-year-old would straighten it out for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
And it was like, who's going to kick the ass out of the TV? I'll do it and get up. By the time you got there, you're pissed, too. It's like you've been watching the
taunting you.
Yeah, well, you've been watching the Christmas special spin for too long, and so now you got a head of steam.
But now that you had a special rap for it. You knew exactly it was like
you were like Fonzie.
It was like, boom.
Yeah, just
particular,
boom.
Particular rap.
Right.
Anyway.
You know, the other thing I like, too, is how the guys, and this is a real white trash move, but this would happen, too, where if the knob busted off, and that knob, the change channel, busted off. And they would always bust off because it was the same thing. There was a metal. There was like a metal. prawn, the metal was a half axle. Yes. It was like a yes. half moon. It yes. was a half round,
yes.
is what we call it in carpentry. And it came out, and it was a plastic knob that went onto it.
Fit over
and eventually,
it,
yeah. the plastic would snap. The little skirt that went over the thing would bust off, and then you were on needle-nose plier patrol from that point on. But evidently, there was no such thing as a replacement knob. You cannot fix a knob. You cannot buy another knob. You could buy another knob. It would come with a new set around it, and you'd take your 29-cent knob. So that was it. There was pliers, and the pliers sat on top of the TV set, and for the next 6 years, you would switch channels using the needle-nose pliers. Well, what is that? Would that happen today? So you'd get a knob. You get on the internet, and you just get a knob, or you get a new set, or you just throw the thing out.
And by the way, that was
there's
again,
no knobs.
The 70s. Everyone knew that took full form.
And when that thing snapped, it was like, all right, now we're doomed to 10 years of channel lock.
And by the way, part of the reason that the thing always came apart was the television always had an on and off button that pulled out and pushed in. And you couldn't do the volume unless you pulled it out.
Well, they were just effing with
Remember
us
that?
In the 70s, were they not?
Yeah.
Everyone was just effing with us.
First remote controls that they clicked with sound.
Snap.
Yeah. Snap. It's just things used to like train dolphins.
Yeah.
Throw some herring at the
People
set
know
and
what
click
the
it.
Talking about.
All right. Well, it's good times.
Hey, good times. We're having a promotion.
For
all the callers tonight who are 17 years or older who get on the air, they will be sent 2 tickets to The Girl Next Door starring Alicia Cuthbert.
Fantastic film.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
Alicia's going to be in here, by the way. She says, smoking hot.
Yeah, and so when you'll be able to see it in your town, so whatever it's being played, aired in your town. And for those of you in the L.A. area, anyone, not necessarily those of you that get on the air tonight, anyone that has a computer, go to earthlink.net. The website is Girl Next Door Tickets. Girl Next Door Tickets at earthlink.net. And you get passes to go to the Arc Light on April 7th.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Doesn't get better than that.
It
Great venue.
I don't know. We had a shameful response last night.
So let's get focused. Come let's on. Get focused, stoners. Yeah. And these kids got computers today, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We had one, but you had to work it with the pliers and beat the S out of it. All right, let's. Who decided, by the way, that the first 10 years of computers they had to be like an eerie flesh color?
Yeah,
like it's creepy seeing, especially since computers were eventually every sci-fi movie I had, the computer eventually took over the planet and killed you.
That's why.
Did it have to have an eerie
peach
sort of
colored
weird
flesh,
peachy flesh color to it? How about just a nice, you know, brushed aluminum or silver color or maybe like an anthracite
screen,
or something?
Here's another weird thing about the computer. Yeah. I was explaining this to my son. When the computer, the idea of the home computer came around or the computer in your house stuff, we never imagined it doing anything other than computation.
Yeah.
Right? It was going to be like a big calculator.
You're going to be done with your math homework in no time.
I mean,
with this baby.
Word processing. Like, what?
No.
No, just a big compute. It computed.
Right.
A computer.
Right.
That's what it did. It computed.
Right. Now, just nothing but bizarre stump porn. That's all it does is bring bizarre, macabre porn into your home.
And the trailer for... What do you think of the new .xxx thing? You a fan of that?
What? I didn't know what that is.
Oh, they're creating a new domain just for porn sites.
Oh, really?
.xxx.
Wow.
Yeah, well, that's from Ethan. Fantastic.
I should be getting a call from my agent soon. They're going to have me do... It's non-ID, but you will be doing some voiceover work for a .xxx company. All right, Ethan's on is here now. We'll take a quick break. Survivor, best show on TV, everybody. Besides Crank Yankers. Oh, yeah, Crank Yankers, Drew. That's my show. That's a great show. If you love puppets and you love comedy, you got to love that Crank Anchor. All right, let's take a little break. We'll be right back.
Love Line.
Come on, Drew. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Ethan's got a few things other than Survivor up his sleeve that we have not discussed.
He's got something, a prop he's brought in.
He's got an invention. He's got an invention, which I was... See, here's...
You'd appreciate
it. I'll tell you, I sold the man short because producer Ann said he wants to plug the grassroots soccer, which is a worthy cause. Everyone knows that Ethan's very much involved with soccer. And then he's got an invention. And I was like, was it a new cleat or is it some sort of training ball? Was it a ball with a tennis? I was like, She's like, no, it's got nothing to do with soccer. And I thought, wow, I like that. Great. He's got an invention. That's like when a fat comedian gets up there and doesn't talk about being fat. I like that guy, even if he's not funny. So even as this invention sucks, yeah. The fact that it's nothing to do with soccer is very compelling to me.
You.
Yeah. Well, what is it?
This
what do you got?
It's the Easy Crunch Bowl, and this will revolutionize your cereal eating experience.
Really? Because, let me tell you the problem with cereal and me, Drew.
Mush.
Turns to mush almost immediately. And to the point...
What you see here is your cereal bowl. It's a classic style developed, a split level developed in the 1970s. What you have here is you keep your cereal...
Take that out of that pitch. The 70s.
No, just joking. Yeah. Well, we're talking about the 70s early full serve.
Right.
The clickers,
so, because here's the thing. When you pour the cereal, then you pour the milk, and it's a race against the clock. And, you know, the worst thing happens is, like, the phone will ring, and you'll be, come on, I got to get off. I got the cereals going. The clock started.
Okay, so how does this work? Where's the milk or where's the crunch go?
Basically, it's a swimming pool with a shallow and a deep end.
Right.
Cereal goes up in the shallow end, milk goes in the deep end.
Uh-huh.
When you're ready for a little extra crunch, you just tap the cereal over the, the deep end.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is just the prototype.
Sure.
I have the other version here, which is a little more...
The non-prototype version of it?
No, the
Arts and crafts version?
Arts and crafts version of it, yeah.
Wow.
What you can see here.
The drawings of it. Wow. It's beautiful.
It's got a little slide down there. It's a 3% gradient down here. So
nice.
If the milk does get caught up top in the shallow end, it'll slip down into the...
Wow. End. And that is that's a stoner-sized bowl, too.
This is, yeah.
I mean, yeah. Now, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. Here's the thing about...
You can really see the mechanics.
Here's the thing about the cereal bowl is you end up filling it up three or four times and milk gets screwed up. What do we got here, Drew?
There's a little ramp going down the side here. And as we put what does this remind you of?
What is this reminder of?
Something from your childhood. With little ramps going down here, and the fluid goes here. And then here's the island up here. A little
Gilligan's Island? Oh, it's a turtle.
Every child of the sick that had one of these had a turtle.
Ask me if I had one, Drew.
Except Adam.
Thank
you. Adam had nothing.
And sea monkeys.
Turtles. You'd get these. They probably have the mold out there, right? Because there were six gajillion of these out in the 60s and 70s.
I had a ball of foil.
They used to sell little turtles.
Yeah.
And the turtle would have a swimming pool and an island. There'd be a little palm tree.
This is good. And you know what?
It's good for soup and chowder, too. You know, you keep your crackers up here and your soup and chowder.
That's nice. To me, I like a dedicated bowl.
Yeah.
I don't like to eat cereal out of the bowl I ate the minestrone out of the night before. You know what I'm saying, Drew? Dedicated bowl. You got a cereal bowl. You got a soup bowl. You got the bowl your mom uses to give you the haircuts.
Yeah.
Salad bowl. This is a good idea.
This is Zon bowl.
Yeah.
I mean...
And I'll tell you, first off, it's long, long overdue.
Yeah.
Man has been plagued by the cereal going south dilemma since cereal was invented. Possibly before that. Possibly.
Got a catchy enough name, it's just got a punchy syllable. Just call it the Zon.
Yeah.
Well, the EZ, the whole Ethan Zon, Easy Crunch Bowl.
Easy Crunch Bowl. And now, how much would something like that retail for?
Six for $19.95.
Oh, you get six of them.
Yeah.
It's like different sizes and things?
This isn't the real size, but yeah, and they will be stackable. This one isn't, but yeah.
Right.
Six of them see-through clear.
Nice. And and Ethan was telling me, and they don't usually do this when they sell kitchen products, horrible time cleaning it up. Horrible. Horrible. I like this one commercial where they went, look, this product is so good that easy cleanup? No, not going to try sell. I'm not going to lie to you. You're going to spend the better part of 3 hours trying to get to this thing, and you have to have fingers like an Asian woman in order to get to some of the crevices in this baby. But that's how good a product it is. We're going to rate beyond the price. You're going to spend all night cleaning it up. That's how confident we are in this product. Yeah, that's good.
Well, thanks.
I will sign me up.
I will.
If you need some sort of spokesperson.
You can do it.
When I'm done doing the XXX domain thing, I'll, hi, I'm Adam Carolla. Anybody, you know, and I'll do one of those bad TV commercial non sequiturs. You know, I work late nights and then slide into whatever before people can do the math.
See,
that's why I need, yeah.
No, you could do your show and eat cereal because you wouldn't have to worry about getting soggy. You know,
right.
You keep your cereal up here, do a whole segment, come back, and then it's
right. You could, with a conventional bowl. And which, by the way, have not made any improvements on the conventional bowl in what? Several million years, Drew?
Yes. When they were, yes.
Long before. Well, I mean, I'm using the same bowl Christ used, right? Moses before him?
Well before any of those guys, yes.
Yeah, the same bowl.
Same bowl.
Same technology.
Maybe originally on a rock, but yeah.
It has not changed. I bet theirs would handle the microwave better than mine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. What about this? Microwave safe?
Oh, yeah. Dishwasher safe, unbreakable. Yeah. It's all the muscle without the tussle.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. That's going to be another one of my honesty campaigns. This is like, look, you will spend all night cleaning this device, and if you put it in the dishwasher, it will explode and take the house with it. You understand? But it is that good a product. So, no tussle with the muscle.
No, yeah. We're going to put the crunch back in brunch.
Oh, man. That is awesome.
A lot more where that came from.
That is a great idea.
Yeah.
And you know what, Drew? When I heard that it was a no soggy bowl, I thought, how does this work? Compressors, conveyor belts, are they harnessing the power of the sun? No, very simple. Just a shelf up top. You put them in the milk. You just throw the kitties in the pool when you're ready to go.
If you wanted to, somebody can make a couple other layers, you know, because Adam would like to put pie mix, marshmallows, and Count Chocula.
Yeah. I like to cook up my own Lucky Charms.
Sure.
I don't buy Lucky Charms. I buy the ingredients to Lucky Charms. I buy the blue diamonds and the red hearts and the coloring and stuff. And I actually, because I'm thrifty.
Yeah, I see.
Much like the Scottish are with the, much like the leprechaun on the box. He's thrifty. That's me. I make my own Lucky Charms and I save about $8 a metric ton.
Really?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Make my own. You can do that with Count Chocula, Captain Crunchy. Make your own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, ready to move forward
let's
here?
Keep going.
Fantastic, by the way, Ethan.
Thank
tickled
you.
Pink. Mary?
Hi.
What's happening?
Well, I'm wondering if it's possible to get rid of a fetish.
What do you mean by fetish?
Mm-hmm. Because basically, I mean, I'm not lying. I swear to Christ that since I was 5 years old, I've been fantasizing about, like, just gaining weight, and I've gone online, it's the whole, like, BBW thing, and the
what's
BBW?
What?
Big, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
It's, like, pornography for heavy people.
Yeah.
And some people get off on the idea of getting someone else to gain weight, and then people like me get off on the thought of actually getting bigger.
Yeah. Well, a lot of women have a lot of feelings and probably some sexual involved with the eating, and that the part of getting bigger or the process. And by the way, are you a cereal gal?
Not really. I really hate breakfast foods in general.
All righty.
Well, you can use it for
our audience never ever disappoints. We got the one lard ass in Chicago who doesn't eat a bowl of goddamn cereal.
But you know what you can do is you can keep your ice cream up top and your steaming hot apple pie down here. You don't want to give it the big chill.
Smart. Yeah. Anyway, smart. Scoop at a time. Yeah.
Like that.
True. Is there a human
pie
being?
Goes above,
is there a human being that doesn't like cereal, by the way?
I don't know.
I've never met a person. Here's the thing. You may not like this cereal. You may not like Grape Nuts, but surely you like Frosted Flakes.
I want to hear more.
I've talked to one person who doesn't like cereal, and she's got an eating fetish.
She just
got
to say F you, whatever.
Oh, screw you.
No, I want to hear
the eating disorder.
That's what I'm trying to sort out here.
I can't believe our callers.
It's more of a what's called a paraphilia, which is a sexual thing, a perversion. As she's saying, a fetish.
How much do you
turns
weigh?
Turns her on to eat?
Now that I hate you.
To get fat.
225 right now.
Oh.
But you actually like the getting heavy part, the growing part.
I mean, I don't want to get like to a truly unhealthy weight, but there's all these stories about
look, you're 225.
I'm curious, stories about what?
About just the feeding and you just, I mean, it goes from anything from just, you know, the sexual fantasy of feeding the woman to getting actually immobilized. That's how far it goes, and that's the spectrum, and there's all these meetings for, like, to get together.
Who cares? What
it's just we've never heard
about
this before. It's very strange.
Yeah, so we've talked about this
not like
before.
This. Not
how come you don't eat
are you
cereal?
Big men or is big women?
Five different web rings.
Adam, this is not into heavy people. This is about making people, getting people to grow.
Yeah. And, I mean, I remember being 5 years old and actually getting off to thinking about that.
About what exactly, though?
What at the time? Well, about gaining weight.
Was it filling up or gaining weight?
Gaining weight.
Did you eat cereal when you were a kid? Every kid loves cereal.
I do like Special K with the strawberries.
All right. Okay.
Redemption.
Okay, you could do that with the two-story salad bowl. I mean, soup bowl. I mean,
the Zahn bowl.
The cereal bowl. The
Easy Crunch bowl.
The Easy Crunch bowl.
And there's like over 30 different patents for different types of cereal bowls to keep your cereal from getting soggy. That's one of the random things that.
I'll tell you something, baby doll. The 31st is the best. Everyone at the patent office knows.
I've never seen it out there.
Lucky number 31, Ethan Scott.
I do have it.
All right. All right, so a look. Here's the thing. Let me say a couple of things. This is interesting. Especially if I actually don't like
cereal. And it's a lot more widespread than...
Yeah. Sweeping the nation. Everyone loves fat chicks. It's great.
No, it's not about the being...
No, I know, but it's also... That is an element of it.
Is
being...
Is it about fat, too, or is it about some...
Yeah.
It's about the overall heaviness.
Yeah, true. Stop making it more than what it
is. I'm just curious. It's a...
Okay.
No, it's not just the feeding aspect. It's actually about...
It's having...
Filling in your clothes.
One of these...
You have.
One of the tons of funds has a coronary and squashes you, and you find you underneath a rotting.
But I mean, you'd be shocked if you go online and just type into a search engine, just BBW.
Hold on a second. Are you saying we would not be shocked by anything? There's enough a-holes out there to keep every search engine searching for the rest of the time. But now, look, here's the thing. I want to tell you a couple things, Mary. Number one, just because it's gone on as long as you can remember doesn't mean it's a good thing. Like, people do that where they go, like, no, I was this way when I was five. All right. That just means you were effed up longer than most.
Yes.
It doesn't really mean anything. So it didn't happen last week. You've been effed up for 20 years.
Well, she's saying it was, right, but it wasn't a purely mature sexual thing. It was some sort of weird early thing.
All right. Number two... Feel free to extricate yourself from this horrible life of yo-yoing. And by the way, what kind of guys?
I cannot get off unless I fantasize about this, no matter who I'm with.
All right. Well, you can fantasize about anything you want. I mean, Drew fantasizes about killing prostitutes. Doesn't mean he kills them all the time.
Is there anything about your early childhood that we should know?
Nothing with my early childhood. I mean... I'll admit my mother was an alcoholic, but that didn't come into play until after I was 10.
Why not? She didn't start drinking until then?
I had both my parents in the house, and she was able to control it, and I never noticed anything. She was still going to the PTA meetings, and
alcoholic mom. Good
So, I mean, I know I got a buttload of issues.
All right, so listen, Mary, how about this? And okay, it's your fantasy, and you use it to have an orgasm, fine, but it doesn't mean you should immerse yourself in this lifestyle.
That's what I'm trying not to do. I'm trying to stay just, you know, at one weight and possibly lose as much as I can, but every time I start thinking about that, then it all goes back into this, and that's what I need to think about.
Okay, well, once you think
of... Get rid of a fetish?
Think about some therapy.
And certainly not by trying to will it away yourself. It's a treatment issue.
Stay away from that computer.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, there's like five different clubs that meet like every other week.
Yeah, well, Adam, it's just like any
sexual compulsion. I know. Stop doing it, though. I know. Look, there's a lot of people that do heroin. Oh, Drew, there's so many. You don't understand. Yeah. They do it all the time.
They'll come deliver the goods right at your doorstep.
Yeah, okay, don't do it.
A heroin club.
Yeah.
But if I were to get it like completely immersed in therapy, can you get rid of a fetish? I mean, let's say that
you can
diminish
control
its importance. Its importance.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's really, a lot of therapy is just about getting you not to do stuff you want to do rather than, everyone thinks you go there to get motivated or go get you to do, I'm going to get that college degree, stop beating off using your mom's panties. It's what not to do, really. This is about 80% of therapy is what not to do, Drew. Thank you. All right. Ethan, salad bowl's on. He's got that cereal bowl. I'll tell you.
It'd be good for salad, too.
Oh, yeah.
I think swim in the dressing sometimes.
Yeah.
No,
hey,
no one likes or vegetable
don't dip.
Don't drown your food.
Let's focus on hefty Mary Buzzkill over here. First, The only fat chick in Chicago is not into cereal. Number one, not into it. How about some nice cereal? Don't like breakfast. Okay, number one. Number two, has to inform Ethan that there's over 30 patents on soggy-less cereal bowls.
Thanks, Mary.
Really?
Like I haven't learned.
Yeah, what a sweet pea you are. Isn't she angry?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they're not stackable.
Yeah, they're not stackable. And
they don't have Ethan's name.
They were not on Survivor. Right, right, exactly. They don't have that
or Loveline.
$570,000 seed money that he's filtering through the offshore account. That's right. And what? Look at the matinee idol good looks. You know what inventors look like? Fat, balding guys, like asexual guys with thick glasses.
Man, probably Google BBW.
He could have a kosher version.
Ooh, oh, bring the juice in. Smart.
Hello.
There you go.
Little matzah brine.
They're going to haggle. And that's not a stereotype. It's just the truth, Joe. All right, we're going to...
Just saying.
All right. Let's take a break. I'm going to yell at Drew about this, Mary, during the break, too.
It was a weird, interesting twist on an old...
I know, but I just can't... I can't believe that she knew about... All I do is watch the History Channel. I never saw any patents for
Salable.
No, I keep saying Salable, but it's Cereal Bowl. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Can I get 10 ones, please? Thanks.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-NLOVE. We don't need people. We need your stinking calls. We need your charity people. We got Ethan here from Survivor. Just freshly booted off the island. That's all right. Won the million in Africa. Speaking of Africa, it's got this organization called Grassroots Soccer. How does this work?
Well, basically what we do is we train the professional soccer players in a particular country about HIV and AIDS. Then they go into the schools and teach the youth about AIDS prevention. Simple concept.
Smart.
But no one's doing it. You know, it's like imagine taking Michael Jordan, sticking him in the middle of Harlem and teach kids about drugs.
Right.
Same concept.
Right.
A little positive role model thing.
Yeah. Whose idea was this?
It's my idea.
I'll tell you. This guy says the Thomas Edison of our time. He really is. I mean, if it's not figuring out ways to keep your cereal dry, it's figuring out a way to keep Africa AIDS-free.
Amazing.
Trying.
Yeah. Yeah, those folks...
trying to combine the two.
Need a little help in the AIDS department over there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what goes on over there, but do they not use condoms? What's going on in Africa? What's the big problem?
That's probably one of the biggest problems. Miseducation and just the culture. It's ingrained in the culture to be... promiscuous, I guess.
It is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, right now, there's children and there's grandparents. There's no one in between. So many AIDS orphans. And
really?
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you this. After seeing the first guy in your village go down with AIDS and someone giving you the condom speech, how many guys you gonna hump after that? I mean, I know it's a different culture, maybe more primitive. We cannot judge.
Can't judge.
But, you know, when you're just sort of, you know, this isn't, you know, we're not asking you guys to put a satellite up. We're just asking you to put the goddamn condom over the Johnson. What's the main obstacle to this?
I mean, if you're in a rural area and you're, you know, about to have sex, you're not going to, and you don't have a condom, you're not going to get up and walk 4 miles to the corner store. You know, that's a problem.
Right.
But, you know, money, they don't have money to get condoms. Granted, they give them out for free, but... You know, then if you don't have them.
So is it A, there's a lot of, you know, old habits die hard, but B, it's so spread out that it's hard to get information to everybody. It's hard to reach all the outposts.
A little bit, yeah.
Do they understand what this is? They think.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually very fascinating because a lot of the children that we teach, they do know the facts. They know, you know, what the AIDS virus is and how it's spread, but the actual understanding of it is not there. So, you know, they can regurgitate the facts, but they don't have an understanding of what it means. It's fascinating, actually.
And are they not sort of aware of their own how sort of frail human life can be? I mean, do they think they're invincible like most 18-year-olds?
I mean, but they do think they have no hope. They think I'm going to get it. Yeah. You know, so there's no point trying not to get it.
Right.
That's why we go in there and, like, you know, we provide them with the right information and let them make the choice to live a healthy lifestyle. But we give them the sense, you know, the self-efficacy to make these decisions. Like, they can live a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
They can live life without, you know, HIV free.
Right. Did they have stable families before all this hit?
Not really.
No.
No.
That is a fantastic idea, getting the soccer
take care
stars.
Of kids, basically.
Excuse me?
That men didn't stay in the families?
Not so much. I mean, if a man passes away, you know, his brother will come and take over the family and get to sleep with the wife and the whole bit.
Right. Well, good times. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, oh yeah.
Then again, we cannot judge.
One of the common ways to cure yourself of AIDS is to have sex with a virgin.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's pretty fine. Yeah.
Cannot judge. We can't judge. That's
violent
the important
times.
Thing. Cannot judge. Every culture is the same.
Wow.
Kate?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
Believe if I was a virgin and I was running around Africa, I would put an M80 up me just to get rid of that. I would get rid of that hymen, lickety split. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Start wearing those stripper shoes, those big high stripper shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
Big Lucite ones. Yeah, I would not let anyone think I was a virgin. Kate?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes.
What's happening?
Well, basically, I was in an 11-month relationship that I got out of about 6 months ago, and right now I'm just trying to make sense about what happened in there. I've always been uncomfortable with engaging in sexual activity. He was my first year's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Always had a low sex drive. He forced me into a whole bunch of sexual activity. I'm pretty strong-willed. We fought about it a lot. It got to the point where he would make me turn up before I would come home. Like, he would, you know, I'd be in his car and I couldn't get him until I did something. Honestly, wow. I don't know why I stayed in the relationship for like 11 months. I'm out of it. I'm with a new guy now, going on 2 months.
Yeah.
He is really understanding. We've talked a lot about what happened. He came out of a good relationship where he lost
That's
his virginity
great.
To the girl he
All right,
have.
All right, all right. Now, so what? What's the question?
So I'm wondering, would that, what happened in the last relationship be considered sexual abuse? And I mean,
yes,
it's
a very abusive relationship, not specifically sexual abuse, because that really implies a childhood sexual abuse. But you having sort of chosen that guy and tolerated that abuse does suggest that you've been taken advantage of or exploited at some other time in your life.
But
well,
you
and
did.
That's what I don't understand, because I had a good childhood. I've been.
All right. Well, look, it
could have been a bad choice.
It happens. Yeah. You make a bad choice. Things sort of creep up on you before you know they're out of hand. But then you know you're healthy because you put an end to it.
Right.
You got out of there.
And that's it. And you should be able then to have normal intimacy going
yeah.
forward. If you can't. If you get a post-traumatic stress reaction from this, that means that there was something that happened before. You just don't know what it was.
I like the gas, grass, or ass guys. Nobody rides for free. I like those guys. Drive the car. It's like, look, sweetie, before you get out of the car, I'm going to need a little something. And, I mean, this baby doesn't fuel itself.
Good times.
Yeah. It's Nova. It only gets 15 miles a gallon. All right. I have no idea. I'm going to mash the board. Let's take a break, Drew.
Yep.
All right.
Here we go.
Before he gets the big bucks. Yep. We'll be right back. All right, Drew, quit pouting. We get to go home now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do all the dancing around here, but at the end of the night, who's tired?
Both of us.
Drew. No, I could do another 5 hours of radio.
Really?
And I intend on it. I'm going to do overnights here.
Cool.
All right?
Have fun.
All right, I'm going to just stay here until Kevin and Bean show up at 4:45 in the morning. Ethan's on, everybody. God love
Thank
that
you.
Survivor.
Thanks.
God love soccer and the salad bowls and all things that Ethan stands for. And I want to thank Diamond Limo for dragging Ethan and his very inventive mind out here tonight. Always a pleasure, Ethan.
Thank you very much.
We'll
for having me.
Talk soon. And mazel tov on the inventions Thanks. And the great work you're doing abroad. Until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.